Welcome to the best 3,000 songs I've heard so far, The Chart Show, an audio revelation of a snapshot in time provided by two gurus of absolutely nothing, save for a bunch of occasional informed and well self-assured opinions about the music reviewed from various genres and years presented on this show. Hey Dade, let's go.
Welcome to the best 3,000 songs I've heard so far, the podcast, also known as The Chart Show, where we choose a chart either randomly or in some cases, such as this week, based on a seminal moment in our life. The year that Dennis and I, that Dennis and I graduated high school. And so we will have opinions on that, not necessarily only based on the music, but probably recall a few moments of, that the songs evoke. So welcome back, and let me introduce my partner in this venture, Mr. Dennis Talbot.
Hello, how you doing? So this is our second show, our first show. Hopefully you liked the way we did it. And like I said, when we did this next one, we decided to, you know, do something that kind of represented a time in our life, which was, you know, graduating from high school. That was an odd time for me, too, because, you know, I was a huge Kiss fan all through high school, but I kind of lost interest in Kiss toward the end of high school because of the Dynasty and the Unmask, and it wasn't, yeah. they weren't on my radar as much as they was before. You know, we graduated in May of 1983. A big thing that happened to me prior to that was Halloween night of 1982, saw my first concert, which was a double bill of Canadians, Rory Gallagher and Rush. That was, you know, my first experience as a, so, you know, I became, you know, I was a big Rush fan then and became a bigger Rush fan after that fact. And I was starting to get into a little bit more like Van Halen at that point, Judas Priest. And then also because of what was happening and what happened probably 3 weeks after this chart, I moved to Evansville and actually had access to MTV.
I remember that because before that, you guys would come to my house and watch it.
And we watched, what, Night Tracks?
Night Tracks, absolutely.
A few of those ones there. So we didn't have 24 hours a day, you know, music videos, which we don't have now either. You know,
that's a relic of the past, isn't it?
It went full circle. But I remember when I moved to Evansville, I mean, the first time I saw MTV, I stayed up all night. And I was like going, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, and I'm still watching. You know, they got up the next morning and like, you still watching it? And I'm
still
like,
watching it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and that entire era, 83 through probably 86.
Right.
Because I remember getting up after a night of adult refreshments in 1985 for the Live Aid concert.
Right.
And catching the UK, the London version. And
then, I think we watched all of that, actually. It was really...
Yeah, other than, yeah, because you know, you didn't have the DVR to stop it for the...
No.
the necessary breaks or the food breaks. So, you know, you just, a group comes on, it's like, you know, whatever, you do what you got to do.
Right.
But it was a blast. And so in MTV, we really were, considering when it debuted, it didn't debut necessarily in the large cities. I lived in Dale, Indiana. Dennis lived in Molzer's Camp. Troy, he lived in the suburb of Troy, Indiana.
I lived in a house down by the river.
Down by the river, exactly.
It wasn't a van, it was a house, but yeah. We were in the sticks.
The van came after college,
yes.
Right?
So, we had an aerial, you know, we had no cable. It was, you had to actually turn, and we watched fuzzy shows. So, from there I went to, like I said, I moved to college to Evansville. And just seeing cable television all the time, plus the fact of MTV, was a really, you know, really cool thing. And MTV opened me up to a lot of the 80s type new wave music. I think if I would have heard it on the radio, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much or got into it as much, but watching the videos that went along with it, I think that kind of drug me in a little bit. So, you know, even though I was, you know, on the weekends, I'd, you know, throw my fist up and to priest and stuff like that. I'm listening to, you know, Kaja Gugu and stuff like that through the week, you know. And because it was
the videos.
And the thing was the songs were catchy and they were good. So MTV really changed a lot of my perception of music for a long, and that could actually be a show in itself at some point. Yeah. Talking about that, but
and we can drag in right. some of the folks we know, which in the future we do hope to drag in a few of our friends occasionally to go through various things, because this chart show, just for future reference, it's, you know, the first show was from the 70s, this one's from the 80s. We intend to do chart shows from the 60s, 50s probably not, but you never know.
I'd say 60s through...
60s for sure.
Through the late 90s or 2000s.
Well, no, even 2000s.
Right.
And we might even throw in some more recent charts just to see if...
Which I'll have to sit and listen to every song because...
Well, I won't as much just from having lived overseas and, you know, just right. different music available over there. But it's... but yeah, just to see if we're a bunch of grumpy old fuckers, or if we actually are, if we're just cool dudes, and you know, we're a little bit of both, maybe. I don't know. Probably more cool dude.
Probably on the grumpier side, but still
more
cool.
More cool dude. I mean, music, because we're kind of like those guys in High Fidelity with John Cusack and Jack Black and Peter DeLuise, or whatever his name was. That worked in the record shop, because people come in, we have a better opinion than theirs, we trash the shit out of what they like, and we don't feel the least bit bad about it. So
he tries to set people on a course of good music.
And even, you know, even between
we argue about that too. So
absolutely, but the thing is, we agree on enough that the shit that we mutually hate from each other's music selections. Ain't a big deal.
Right.
But with that in mind, so this week we're doing, and Dennis, thanks for kind of starting us out on the nostalgia stuff, and we're going to probably go off the rails during the
right.
chart show.
Of course.
But we start with, we graduated May 18th or 19th of 1983, and this is from the 21st, so we just, the closest date to it.
Right.
And so with that in mind, this is indeed from the Billboard chart. And I do want to say also, before I forget, that the charts that we will be doing aren't always going to be from the pop charts. We're going to do rock charts. We're going to do soul charts. Probably not do much on the country chart, but yeah, what the heck?
None.
Well, actually, no, I take that back. I would do some country charts from the 60s and early 70s.
Maybe, yes, yeah. I could do that.
But I ain't going to do no shit from that otherwise.
It's going to lock up at some point.
Okay. So. All right, so with that in mind, the top 40 of May of 1983.
All right.
And Dennis, please start us off and talk a little bit.
All right, so number 40 was Looking for a Stranger from Pat Benatar. That was off the Get Nervous album. I'm a huge Pat Benatar fan. I think I've got almost all of her records now. It was funny though, because I was like, I don't remember this song. So we had to listen back to it. And as soon as it started, I was like, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Because it's not one of the ones that's played now a lot.
Right.
You know? And I'd have to pull out the Get Nervous album to actually hear it. But, you know, God, Lord, you know, great song, good looking chick. You know, and I actually got to see her in concert last year, and the woman sounds...
She's still rocking.
Oh, my gosh. It's just unbelievable.
Obviously, I think she was vocally trained vocally.
Oh, yeah. She was all into kind of operatic jazz
right.
type stuff, and and then she got hooked up with her husband, who still is her husband. They've been married almost 40 years.
Jesus, in the entertainment business, that's
exactly.
Amazing.
But they're a team. I mean, they write a lot of stuff and do a lot of stuff, and he's a hell of a guitar player too. So,
well, it's I like you. I'd not heard this song, and not a follower of Pat Benatar other than what you'd heard on the radio, and never struck me poorly at all. She's never been hard on the eyes, so I mean, if that's wrong. Even as a bride of a certain age right now, she's still rocking it.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, yeah. So I no more than that. Just hadn't heard it.
Right. And I hadn't heard it for a long time. So that's why I had to kind of remind myself. But great song though.
Same thing with the next song. Number 39 is No Time for Talk from Christopher Cross. Don't know what album that's from.
I don't even remember it, actually, to be honest. I like Christopher Cross. I like it. And I, over the years, have come to find out he's a really good guitar player. I mean, excellent guitar player. And I like a lot of his, hits. But this is one that I do not remember. Honestly, just absolutely.
Well, and that's funny, too, because you were referring earlier to the fact that we were glued to MTV and we still listened to the radio all the time.
Christopher Cross was not a MTV pretty type person.
He
had a face for radio.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And MTV truly was. I mean, it shifted the paradigm completely and how we enjoyed music because, we watched and listened and...
Because Ride Like Wind, I don't think had a video. If it did, it didn't have his hit in there. Arthur's theme was, of course, all the clips from the Arthur movie.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I really don't think he had. Like I said, they just said, you know what? He's not. we need to find another visual. Nothing against Christopher Cross. You know, he's like me.
I have a face for radio as well. I got great hair, but face for radio. But. But anyway, it's just a nondescript.
Yeah.
The next one I'm going to intro because I was a huge fan of this band at that time. I lost my luster for them, so to speak. And this maybe kind of started me down that path. Not that it wasn't a fun video, and there was like a family that redid this video a couple of years ago, which was really cool. It's Separate Ways by Journey. If you guys have seen the video, it's next to a warehouse and they're playing the keyboard on the wall and different things like that. It was Journey having lost all of the value that they brought, meaning Neil Schon and Greg Rolie brought from Santana. They still, Steve Perry obviously still had an amazing voice, but the quality of songs,
they were a hit machine.
They were a hit machine.
They turned into a hit machine.
Yeah, they definitely hit.
They weren't doing songs like Mother Father and
and
the super classics, but they're Journey. I mean,
well, and it wasn't just them. I mean, Journey fell victim to one of the reasons I hate 80s music. And that's the overproduced music. In other words, producers who were angling for the hit as opposed to angling for quality. So they were pimps, the producers.
I'm going to have to listen to a band cranking out some hits, Journey wasn't a bad.
Oh yeah, band no, absolutely.
It's all quality. But I get what you say though. It turns into a point where it's not really good Journey.
These assholes were still good musicians.
Oh yeah,
and Steve Perry's
still
voice.
Are.
Yeah, and still are. Yeah, absolutely. So, but so that's kind of all we have on that. Actually, I'm going to let Dennis do the next intro because this was one of our groups for sure at that time period.
And well,
but I loved them more from the 70s.
Right. So, 37 was "Give Me All Your Lovin'" from ZZ Top. ZZ Top completely lost me at this point. When they got into, and MTV welcomed them with open arms, another Journey thing.
Good segue, exactly.
But the thing was ZZ Top decided at some point that they were going to have this drum machine kind of sound.
And Frank Beard's a good drummer.
And he's a good drummer. But they went into that and a lot of the almost a synthesized music at that point. But they cranked out a ton of hits. I mean, they took, these three guys from Texas that were dirty, bearded people and basically like with Shark Grass, man, turned them into something that young kids like, oh my God, these guys are great.
Right, you know, they're...
Well, they're great, but you need to listen to Trace Ombres, you need to listen to Duello, you know, stuff like that. You need to listen to that stuff. This music is crap, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and you know, I can't...
And I hate to say that about ZZ Top.
No, but I know, but and God bless them for making all that money.
Right.
Oh, and I mean, I'm happy about that. And
they have big houses now.
Well, and speaking of big... what was big in those videos, because that was definitely, like you said, MTV welcomed them.
Right.
Was chicks with short shorts and big hair.
Yeah.
Good God. Some of those chicks in those videos, I guarantee that any lingering holes in the ozone from chicks in those videos.
Almost every guy in the videos of them, too, was, they all contributed to the hole in the ozone. But yeah, I'm just, like I said, ZZ Top. Great band. If you want to listen to ZZ Top, listen to anything before Eliminator, and you're going to be all right.
True. That,
and then, like I said, get you some old stuff. Go get some Trace Ombres. Try that.
Yes, exactly. You know?
But anyway, I'm done. I'm done.
Where are we at next, man?
Oh, we're gonna go like straight down the shithole. Song we had to actually listen to. You and I both did before we did it. So this was kind of, 2036 was some kind of friend. This is Barry Manilow.
Barely Man Enough, absolutely.
And I'm a big Manilow fan, trust me.
You're a brave man for admitting
that. No, I do. This is his kind of delve into
That brings you right onto the Michael Bublé and Celine Dion.
He was trying to be something he wasn't. You know, Barry writes the songs that makes the whole world sing.
Yeah.
Barry cannot write an 80s song that sounds like Thomas Dolby, you know what I'm saying?
This was a highly synthesized,
and just did. I mean, Barry, it's like going, people, the blue hairs will keep paying you to see Mandy, you know, just
exactly.
Just do it.
Yeah, this wasn't the cool shit.
Plus, I would, you know.
Yeah, this isn't the cool shit he did backing up Bette Midler in bathhouses in New York.
Exactly.
Know?
No, it's San Francisco, but anyway.
It was New York.
I thought it was San Francisco.
No, it was New York.
Alright. Anyway, not a big fan of the song either. But.
Yeah. So the next one, number 35, is It Might Be You by Stephen Bishop. Decent song.
Yeah.
You know,
Not his best song.
Stephen Bishop, best known for his one hit On and On, but he was also the composer and singer of the theme song from the movie Animal House. Animal House.
I don't even remember that song. I love the movie.
But what's best known for in Animal House beyond the theme music?
Oh, he was the guy playing the acoustic guitar player.
He was the folk singer as John Belushi was walking down the stairs, and he's like,
"My cherries is a stone." And he picks his guitar.
So John Belushi grabs the guitar.
I forgot about that.
Smashes it to smithereens,
which was actually an ad lib.
Yes, it was an ad lib. Handed him back the neck of the guitar, shrugs and goes, "Sorry." Yeah, just very calmly, you know.
Yeah.
But it was what we were all thinking. It's like, yes, it was one of the great moments in...
I completely forgot about that. But yeah, you're right.
Stephen Bush is a damn good singer, good writer.
Oh, and good music. Yeah, so
absolutely.
I like that song. That was good. And it's kind of odd for this time, too. If you look at this, if we go through this top 40... That was a kind of a standard song. I mean, that was kind of one of those old standards.
It was, yeah.
You know, there's no synth in it. There's no trying to be cool, and he's not wearing pink with these little black glasses, you know, squeaking around. He's just kind of being Stephen Bishop. So.
Exactly.
All right.
So
good.
So we're up to number 34.
Yep. The One Thing, INXS. Not my favorite song from INXS, but it is a good song.
It is good. I mean, it's not my favorite song.
And of course, it had a huge video. And they're all sitting at this table and they're eating all this crazy foods, and they're, you know, it's kind of this fancy dinner party kind of thing. But yeah,
again, back to the visuals. That's how we remember this shit from the.
That's show. How I remember it. You know, and like I said, it wasn't my favorite song. Like I said, I there was a couple earlier ones I liked more, and some of the later ones I liked, but this wasn't my favorite. But it's a good song.
Absolutely. Now the next one I'm going to lead into is number 33, and it's by the most prolific artist of the 1970s.
Yeah, I'd say.
Chart-wise and everything.
Right.
Elton, single artist. Sure. Elton John, and I'm Still Standing.
Terrible video.
Yeah, the pork pie hat and the
song catchy on. Though the song is catchy. Like it's horrible.
But you know, honestly, Elton John's talent died for me with the release of "Don't Go Breaking My Heart" by that prolific singer Kiki Dee.
I love that song. I
cannot stand
that song. I love that song.
That was about 1976. Don't go wasn't necessarily in love with Philadelphia Freedom.
See, I like that song a lot too.
Yeah, no, I have a different desire
for. Well, I like a lot. I like most Elton John songs, and this one here is not bad. It's just, I don't know, he's trying to get that 80s.
Well, again, it's the producer pushing his stuff. And you can't give him the full blame since he didn't write the lyrics. So.
Right.
Bernie.
He tried to get 80s.
You could have done better, exactly.
Right.
So, where are we at with number 32?
32 is "I Couldn't Say No" by Robert Ellis Orrell with Carlene Carter.
Yeah, we had no idea what the hell this song was.
And I still really don't know much about it. It kind of just skidded under the door and just...
it really did. And
she's kind of hot, but I mean...
Well, no, Carlene Carter at that point in her career, especially Carlene Carter being the daughter of June Carter, Johnny Cash, the second
wife. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a country, and it's kind of a
country. It's a poppy country thing.
The
best thing I can say about this song, other than the fact that it's like, is that...
I was interested in the video until he started singing. I was
Carlene Carter could... could model a pair of jeans as well as anybody I could think of at that point. So, and that's all. The only contribution I could think. Where are we at? Number 31.
31 is "Electric Avenue" by Eddie Grant.
This song hung around forever.
And this song was when I first started watching MTV. Yeah. It was on every probably hour and 45 minutes.
Well, yeah, it was part of the heavy rotation.
It was a heavy rotation song. Yeah. And at that time, that was always my piss break. Okay, I got to go pee. I got 3 minutes. But, if I hear it now, am I going to turn it off? No. But at that point, it was basically overload. They played it way too much.
It really was. I mean, I guess I feel the same way. Whatever I may have thought of it when I first heard it,
right?
That shit's gone.
Yeah. No, I don't have the burnout like I did because I haven't heard it in years.
Right.
But I wouldn't turn it off now. And the thing was, it will, if I listen to it, it's going to spark a memory. Probably me going to take a piss, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, well...
But it will remind me of being...
That might be some Freudian
shit. It'll remind me of being in Jones's and Hipschman's, basement apartment.
Yeah.
Sleeping on the couch there for a couple weeks till I got my apartment, going, and watching MTV.
I christened one of their bedrooms with some chick. I don't remember. Don't remember which room it was. Probably Jeff's, because
there was only one bedroom.
Oh, okay.
Jeff and Nathan's shared a bedroom.
What in Nathan's? I don't think Nathan was going. Yeah,
so, and I was on the couch.
That was that chick that tried to molest me, and I'd never met before. But anyway,
what was his name again? No.
No, we can't.
All right. His name was Bob.
Yeah. No.
Okay. So anyway, number 30.
Number 30. I'm going to let you take this because you have an affinity for this song.
"Too Shy" by Kaja Goo Goo. I like this song. And I like the bass line in it is kick-ass. That dude, he's got that kind of slappy bass.
Yeah.
Got that fucking hair. He's one of those dudes that kind of blew the ozone open.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of
like the Flying
Seagulls. I mean, it's got a groove.
No,
it's got a groove.
It was a dance song.
Right. And of all people, I think you would like the song because of the way it kind of grooves. It's kind of got a...
Well, I had a love-hate relationship with some of the New Wave stuff, UK New Wave stuff, and I think these guys are... I can't think of any American that would have come up with the name Kaja Goo Goo, I'm sure.
But it's just one of those songs that I liked, And now, I could not, you know what, I cannot name one other song from Kaja Goo Goo.
Well, I don't know if they ever had one.
But I do know.
But it was on MTV.
It was on MTV, and they played the shit out of it.
Yeah, this is you're right. This
they were playing. It was in a bar scene. It was kind of real smoky, and they were kind of had. Yeah. It was a real, and it kind of looked like a semi alive in a bar scene, kind of with their own stage, and that was what the video. But
yes, I mean, and you remember some of these things better than I do because you stayed up all night watching that show.
Yeah, no shit.
I was still living at home because I hadn't gone to university yet until. End of August, so
yeah, I actually
the old man wasn't. You know, I mean, he didn't mind me staying up late, right. But you know, he probably wouldn't have been through.
Well, actually, I graduated high school and we started trade
started
school
right away.
3 weeks later, yeah.
Yeah, no, you guys were all in on that. Absolutely. So
here's a little song we might know.
Yeah, and this is a song that this was the decline of civilization as we know it. This is Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, and the reason I say it's the decline of civilization as we know it, because from a kid in his late tweens, early teens...
He wasn't weird yet.
No, he wasn't weird yet, exactly. When they first came on the scene, and by the way...
He was a lot darker than two.
Yeah, it was a lot darker. It wasn't goddamn Diana Ross that introduced them. She had them on a show one time. It was actually Bobby Taylor... who found them in a club, because he was playing in Chicago, and Bobby and the Vancouvers, who discovered them, had a dude in that band that went on to be famous not only for his guitar work, but it was usually part of farcical stuff. His name was Thomas Chong.
Right.
And so Mr. Thomas Chong was part of Bobby and the Vancouvers, and like I said, Bobby Taylor discovered Michael Jackson. But this song obviously blew the roof off of everything, that album, which
was... Actually, it was the album prior to this.
Well, no, this was all from the album that we're going to discuss when we get near the top of the chart.
Right.
But Michael Jackson, he had such a strong voice.
But the album prior to this was actually...
A good album. It was off the wall.
That's what I'm saying. That was a big seller for him.
Yeah, well, it was his biggest solo effort prior to this.
Right, and then this one here just went.
Yeah, this one, but
Quincy, which I think was a lot due to MTV.
Well, it was. They again, heavy rotation. Quincy Jones produced the previous one. He might have produced this one.
Right.
Don't really care. The previous one, Off the Wall, was a good album.
Right,
but I think I own.
It's one I don't have, and I want to get that. I've got Thriller, but I don't have, and I don't have this one either. I don't.
Yeah, it's so that's you know, there'll be enough beating on Michael Jackson coming up. The next song is a song that I remember from the radio. It's from a group that, shockingly, from the town of Champaign, and the group is and the song is Try Again. In listening to this song, since you know I tend to favor R&B. This was a strong reminder that soul and R&B was officially dead.
Right.
And this was basically the pop musicification of you know, like everything. Same thing with...
It was one that I didn't
remember. Same thing Kiss doing a goddamn disco album, you know.
To me, it was... It's not a bad song. I don't remember it.
And I'll
forget it again.
Yeah.
Only thing that's good about it is it's one step above Billie Jean. I mean, it actually... It was that good to be that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No.
I'm sure it didn't happen the next week. I'm sure it
Well, would. Billie Jean had already been on the
chart. Oh, Billie Jean was actually going down.
It had reached number one, and it had been on the chart for 18 weeks.
Oh, so yeah, it was already going down, so.
I'm going to take the next song one more time now. And that's Never Gonna Let You Go by Sergio Mendez with Joe Pizzullo and Liza Miller. Sergio Mendez, best known... For Sergio Mendes in the Brazil 66 in the mid 60s, damn good combo, good singers. Chick that went on to marry a Burt Bacharach, Lonnie Hall was one of the singers at that point. This is a good song, especially for the 80s. It's a good song.
And I remember it a lot, and it's one of those things. If I was actually dating back then, or if I, you know, it's a good one to get some boobs rubbed up against you. You know, you could do a little dancing, some little body rubbing. It was a body rubbing song.
It definitely was a body rubbing song. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, turn the cool on and...
Yeah, exactly.
Feel the tips.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Did you turn on the air conditioning? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
But I think you just poked me in the eye.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that would be one of those ones that, you know, well, we were already out of high school at that point, so we've been
at a you were. I'm not sure your girlfriend was.
My girlfriend?
No, your
wife.
Have
a girlfriend.
Oh, well, you know, it was before.
Yeah, I didn't have a girlfriend.
You hadn't met her yet, okay. 83.
Yeah. All in 83, right, I was about as single as...
Well, she's probably about third or fourth grade anyway, so...
Yeah, she just out of diapers.
I yeah, I know. So, anyway, so we're up to number 26, Dennis.
Yeah, even now, Bob Seger, great song. Bob Seger, you know, continue. You know, the thing was, Bob was one of those guys. He doesn't have a hit like every year, but he continually had hits over a few year period. You know what I'm saying? He had hits in the 70s,
right?
60s to 70s. I don't know if he's in the 60s, probably
70s and 80s.
To the 80s and stuff like that. But it wasn't like everything he put out was a hit, but he had some really good songs.
But I think he was also doing a lot of his own writing and arranging. Right. I could be wrong. Right. I do know that most of the albums that he recorded, if they were not live, like Live Bullet, were done down in Muscle Shoals with the Swampers.
Oh, so he probably just had a...
Because if you remember from the Muscle Shoals... Sure. Video. I don't know if it was Barry Beckley or David Hood. It wasn't David Hood. It might have been Beckley. Said how that was his favorite artist that he ever worked with Bob Seger. So
yeah, Bob. No, like I said, Bob writes a lot of tunes, but boy, every once in a while he hits some good ones. You know, like he said. And I don't. Was this after Fire Lake? I'm not a big enough fan to know when his hits came in.
Right.
But no, he's had a lot of great tunes, and this one, you know, this one here was not his best one, but it's listenable.
Right. No, it's great. I agree. Right. I agree.
Good tune. All right. What's next? The Tubes.
This was a good song.
I liked it.
Well, She's a Beauty.
Well, and there at number 25, She's a Beauty. This is another one of those MTV made the song a lot better than what the song was. Listening to the song, it's not a bad song. Watching the video to
the stimulation of the video.
Where he's, you know, talking about and they had the little kid going in, you know, don't be shy, you know, this little, like a strip show kind of. What a great, you know, it was a good fantasy type video. And, but I do like the Tubes. I think they're a good band.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
And it was a good song, but the video was actually better.
Yep. I agree. Number 24 is Stranger in My House by the country artist Ronnie Millsap. I remember the song. Ronnie Millsap, good artist. Can't say that I was, you know, like a huge fan, but a good singer.
Oh, come on. The Smoky Mountain Rain, you don't like that? You don't like that song?
All right, you know.
Yeah, Ronnie Millsap's a good guy. I mean,
good singer.
He is a good singer. Writes a lot of good stuff. So it's kind of funny that it hit the pop chart.
Well, but he'd done that with some of his songs anyway.
That's true, too, though.
I think that one, not that it matters, but he had a couple crossover hits.
Remind me to tell you something. I got a joke, but I can't say it right.
Okay.
I'm trying to be.
Aside from my incessant
slang. I actually want to bring something up since we're almost we're halfway through the thing.
You're not going to bring up again that I taught you how to swear, I hope.
No. Our first show, we brought up the thing, hashtag... Save the Hedgehog.
Hashtag save the Hedgehog.
We may not want to save the Hedgehog. I don't know. He's got a lot more. Oh, you haven't heard?
Oh, no.
He's got a shitload more charges. He's looking at like 200 years in prison. He's like, he's been doing a lot of raping and pillaging. He's like a Viking.
I'm really sorry.
So, and so if we offend anybody by our first show about the Save the Hedgehog, it was more in jest and in comedy.
Mr. Hyatt.
But. You know,
have more sex than any man on film.
I know. Why do you got to rape anybody?
Why would you have to rape anybody? Exactly. So that's disappointing.
We hope that everything that's been accused to him is not correct. That would be nice, but if it is...
Where there's smoke, there's an infernal, maybe, in this case.
If there's smoke, there's this huge penis, and you just got to look out for it. Hashtag, stay away from the big penis.
Is this a self-admission?
Stay away from the hedgehog.
Stay away from the hedgehog, yeah.
All right. I had to correct that because it was bugging me all week.
That wasn't bugging me at all.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at?
Oh, my God. Yes. This.
Come on, Joe. Why don't you tell us about this next song?
I fucking hate this group. And if you don't, you don't like my opinion on this, not you, but anybody listening, I'm sorry that you're tone deaf and would rather listen to cows pissing on a flat rock. Because Mr. Roboto by Styx and every song that Dennis DeYoung ever sang by Styx sucks the sweat off a donkey's balls. I really hate that. Tommy Shaw, on the other hand, I really enjoy the shit out of him.
All right. Do you feel better now? You feel
well? Because I'm not going to bag on Geddy Lee today, but
better not.
Same kind of whiny ass voice, like some goat's got his nuts caught in a flame. I hate that song and it's a shitty song.
Okay, so I'll let you get that out.
All right, thank you.
I love Styx. I go see them every time that they come around. I've seen them probably 6-7 times now. They put on a fantastic fucking show. They sound great. I did not get to see them with Dennis DeYoung, but I do like his voice. Mr. Roboto was a kind of like with the Kiss and the Elder. It was a concept album that did not do well, and it was the death knell for Styx. I mean, Tommy Shaw and
thank God he went on to form Damn Yankees.
They went out of the system. I mean, that put the nail, that put the coffin in, or the nail in the coffin on those guys.
They dropped the coffin in the ground.
But, is it a bad song? No, I just don't like it. I just think it Styx. I mean, and I love Styx music. So, you got the yin and you got the yang. I'm the yin, you're a yang, so. Okay, yang, what's next?
Well, on that note.
22.
Number 22, Family Man by Daryl Hall and John Oates. Hall & Oates made a shitload of money in the 80s, and I'm very happy.
The thing is, I like Hall & Oates.
I do, too.
I like their early stuff.
Love their early stuff.
And I like some of their older stuff, their newer stuff.
And I love Live from Daryl's House. If any of you have never seen Live from Daryl's House...
Please watch it.
Yeah. By all means, check out
any of you'll see episode. Sarah smiles. You hear it every week. Everybody wants to play that song.
The concept is Daryl Hall, he invites artists to his upstate New York estate, for lack of a better term, but it's an old house, and he's built a studio in it, and his musicians, some of them go out on the road with him and John Oates, some of them go out on the road with John Oates or him when they're doing solo gigs. But they're just damn fine musicians. He will have an amazing array of guests come in and perform their songs, and he will then perform songs with them, of their songs, and then they will choose one of his songs, and perform that song.
And 99% of the time, it's Sarah Smiles.
It is,
which is a great song.
It's a fantastic song.
Absolutely. But now this song to me is not. They were getting into the 80s. I mean, they kind of moved because Daryl is a blues type person. I mean, both of them are.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to do But I tell you what, their recipe worked really good because, like I said, they had a shit ton of hits. That Daryl's house was probably bought by a lot of songs from the 80s.
No doubt about it. And
like Private Lies and all that, or whatever it is.
Private Eyes, whatever.
But Family Man is not one of my favorites.
No, by that point, it was a factory churning out the hits. Like you said, they had a formula. Their producers were cranking it out. They were making a shit ton of cash. And I'm very happy for them because they had enough other music to... Kind of like Michael Caine when he does shitty movies. He always turns out an Oscar. Winning role, or Oscar-worthy role after that. So the next song is number 21 by Al Jarreau, and it's Mornin'. It's a good song.
It is a good song.
It's a good song. It's
enough. It's still that 70s soul trying to sneak its way back into things.
Al Jarreau was an elevator jazz artist, right. And it's decent elevator jazz
music. It's titty rubbing music.
That's a little bit too... Well,
yeah, you could probably...
It's a little faster tempo.
You could do faster tempo, but it's still good.
Yeah. But I'm glad to see that you've got some breasts on your...
No, I never did, though. That was the whole point. I was... I guess I rub against the wall or something. I don't know.
I'm not going to make any comments on this.
Number 20.
Don't Let It In by Styx. All I can say is...
He wants it to
refer to my... No. Refer to my previous comments.
Okay.
They all hold true.
Not one of my favorite Styx songs, but it's a good Styx. I mean, it's a Styx song, and I like it. So, going out for that, number 19. Another one from our band, Journey. Faithfully. Huge fucking hit.
This song was a snorer, though, man.
But it was
a huge hit, too.
But this is what... I mean, this is what everybody was doing. These big, what they call it, rock...
Anthems.
Anthem rock.
I can't think of the title.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, exactly, because that it became
everybody,
the norm. It became the norm in the 80s.
And this was probably...
Every band.
This is probably the one that... started it.
I agree with that.
This is
the power ballad.
Power ballad. There you go.
Power ballad. This was a power ballad.
And what a good one, though. I do like this song. There's some great guitar work.
It's good, but like I said, it's just...
But have I heard it enough?
That might be part of my thing. It's like, all right, yeah, do we have to hear this shit one more time? Because again, between the videos and the radios, you know, video killed the radio, all that other bullshit. All
right. 18.
Always Something There to Remind Me, My Naked Eyes. It's a fun song.
You know, when it first came out, I wasn't a great big fan of it. And even with the video, it was one of those ones I can't... But I think as I listen to stuff now, I like it a lot. I mean, it's one of those a song that kind of grew on me. And as I got older, it's like going... Because it's got all that kind of bells and chimes and bullshit in it. And it... I don't know. For some reason, I like it a lot.
Well, I do too. It's,
And I don't know, did Naked Eyes have another... They had another... Did they do Promises, Promises?
They might have, yeah.
I have to look at that, because don't quote me on that. But I think they had, actually, I think Naked Eyes had a couple of hits. And this was one of the ones that they had. But I liked it, so...
Well, but see, so now we're gonna dive a little deeper into this song to use the hackneyed business term. I hate that fucking term, deep dive, but nonetheless I'm diving a little deeper.
Are we talking about the next song?
No, I'm still in this song. Always Something There to Remind Me, because this is a Burt Bacharach Hal David song.
It may be.
No, it is.
It was originally recorded
by, I'm looking it up because I remember that it was recorded by Dionne Warwick in 1964.
Really?
Yeah, it reached number...
I'll have to look that up, because I don't
know. This was the highest peaking version of the song, though.
Right.
So...
Huh. That's very interesting, though. I didn't know that it was a remake.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a monstrous Bacharach and David...
Well, Bacharach couldn't write anything that was bad.
The later work with Elvis Costello is fantastic, you know. Right. But, so that's,
very interesting.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun to finally remember. Like, why the hell am I not remembering it correctly?
All right, number 17.
Oh, boy.
Okay, no, little kids, hold your ears. We're going to say something nasty here. Dexy's Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen.
You know,
I can't even say that without cringing. How did people back in the 80s on the record on the
well, like, what is it?
Come DJs,
on, like, come on, Eileen, you know what I mean?
I mean, seriously, it's just.
I mean, I know it's meant to, like, you know, like
I know.
Like, come on, Bob, let's go somewhere. No,
but it's just.
But no, this is come on, Eileen, you know what I mean?
It's maybe like, we're the only two people in the world that think like that.
No, we, you know, there's plenty of other men of a certain age that.
I'm sorry.
Save the hedgehog.
Save the no. Stay away from the hedgehog.
But you know, this just brings out the schoolboy in us.
Oh, I guarantee it. We just
giggle over stupid shit.
And you know, the thing was, is I didn't even think, whenever it first came out, I really didn't, because I hated, honestly, I really didn't like the song when it first came out. I didn't like the video. Didn't like the song, and I really didn't. It's just recently when I start hearing it again now, I'm like thinking, oh man, that's what it's like.
Well, there's for anybody, and I have no idea, but I've heard that's a fan of Japanese porn.
Right. Bukake. No, I didn't know
it. A term that I, you know.
Joe said that. They wouldn't.
No, that was you, asshole.
I don't even know what it is. But anyway, no, it's just... It's a terrible name. It's not a really good song.
Not the Bukkake is much better.
Yeah, no shit. But yeah, it's just...
Yeah, but it's just... It's become an unwanted visual.
You know, the thing was at our class reunion, that song there, all the girls were like, oh, play that song, we love it. It's like, when...
Yeah,
where,
right.
Where were you in 1983?
Yeah. Going to mass.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh my goodness.
Alright.
Yeah, so anyway.
Alright, let's get off that subject. Alright, number 16. Great song. Rick Springfield, Affair of the Heart. I tell you what, I've been a Rick Springfield fan for years since he came out. This was one of the, he was another one of those MTV, ate him up, spit him out, I mean, just basically.
Well, you know, he first came out in the 70s, I think,
he was actually Sound City, they were promoting, I mean, they basically made him, you know, the guy.
Well, because, you know, he was a pretty boy, was he? He was an old man. Tiger Beach and all that shit like that. They had him on the cover of that stuff. I remember going through the grocery store going, what? Who?
But Affair of Heart was a really good song.
Yeah.
I like that song.
How many Aussies have we got on here? We've got...
I don't know.
So I know we had... there were a couple more on there earlier, too. But then, of course, Dexy's Midnight Runners. Yeah. Those assholes are Irish.
Those banjo playing...
No doubt. This violin, fiddle playing, whatever. So,
all right. So after that, we got 15 Toto with "I Won't Hold You Back." Another good power ballad. I like Toto. I mean, Steve Lidacre is just. I mean, he's awesome.
I don't know if he's the one that was part of Ringo's All Star Band that I saw last year with our classmate and my dear friend Carl and her husband Gary up at in Chicago, but I think that I don't have warmth, I don't have cold, I just, you know, it is what it is,
right?
So, but power ballads,
is it the greatest Toto song? No,
no, and again, I think I'm gonna power ballads.
All right, 14
Rio by Duran Duran. Another video that was on heavy play, but a catchy damn tune.
Very catchy. And another really, a group of really good musicians.
They really were.
I mean, and they've...
And are, I mean, they're still out there.
Well, they're still out there. I liked, you know, it was one of those ones that you couldn't, it was a band that was hard to hate. Really was. And they had some catch, their shit was catchy as hell.
It was. And well produced, actually.
Yes, very well produced. I like Duran Duran. I like
him. Yeah, no worry. No problems with those guys.
All right. 13.
Straight from the Heart by Bryan Adams. Now we're getting into the Canadians.
Right.
Bryan
Adams, another guy who writes a shit ton of great music. You know, Straight from the Heart was also another one of those ballads.
Right. But, I mean, you know, I think
that he's wrote a few of them.
That was a bit more palatable for me. Yeah, he did that Robin Hood theme song and all stuff.
But no, Straight from the Heart's a great song. It's a good song.
Yeah.
And that's actually not really a power ballad. It's more of a slower rocking song. But it's good. I like it.
Number 12 is a song that by a group that...
MTV made...
But these assholes have a little bit of talent.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah, they really do. And that's a Photograph by Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Great album. They played the shit out of this song.
Mutt Lange should be, you know...
Mutt Lange, yes.
He should be credited for that wall of sound, that kind of that... You know, he's the one that made, not just like with what Phil Spector's Wallace Sound. I didn't want to get it confused.
But yeah, Mutt Lange hasn't murdered any girlfriends.
Right. He doesn't have really fucked up hair. But yeah, he had that thing to make them sound, you know, five guys sound like a choir. You know, and that was his big thing. And you know, and Def Leppard has ran with that shit forever. And, but yeah, that's a photograph was, and it was a huge MTV hit. I mean, we used to play this song actually with my first band. So.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah. Okay. We played it to victory. Yeah. We were heavy, heavy on the Def Leppard. So.
Oh.
Good song though. All right, number 11, Der Kommissar, After the Fire.
Another MTV song.
I like that song though.
I like.
I don't get tired of it too. It's one of those ones that I can hear. And I, you know, I heard it a gajillion times back then. But if it comes on the radio or comes on my '80s playlist, you know, I listen to it. It's
yeah,
it's
you know, yeah, I have no issues with this song.
It's quality, yeah. Quality.
But number 10 is
top
a group,
two.
Is another group. Yeah, so we're in the top 10. This is definitely a group that was an MTV group.
Right.
Very visual for. Visual reasons, I guess, for lack of
a better. You know, the thing was, I wasn't a huge fan of them back in the day when they were first out. Of course, you know, I'm like, oh, what the fuck? So, you know, it's all weird and shit. But Culture Club, now I listen to them. I bought their records. I actually like their music a lot.
This falls beyond guilty pleasure into these assholes really aren't that bad.
No, they're yeah. And Time was a really good song. I mean,
it was.
Like I said, you know, Karma Chameleon was just, you know,
that one sucked.
I got but they played the shit out of that one.
Well, they did.
But all the other stuff that they did, I don't mind it. So
I mean, do you really want to hurt me and talk about the next song?
Oh, My Love, Richie, Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Number 9, what do you gotta say? Lionel Richie is he's a genius, writes a lot of great tunes. You know, I like the song.
This is another guy that I don't begrudge him for his 80s music.
Right.
And I'm glad he made a lot of money, but I really can't stand to listen to any of it.
Yeah, I mean, his music... it's a personal choice.
Well, it is, but I mean, his music with the Commodores was much better.
Well, of course,
better.
I mean, it was... Well, yeah, duh. But there's another guy who continued on after the Commodores.
Well, I mean,
he made more money.
The Commodores because he made more money.
Well, he made more money being Lionel Richie than he ever did with the Commodores.
Well, yeah, because there's like 45 guys in that band.
Right.
All graduates of Tuskegee Institute.
It was a large bus. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. The next song, number 8, I like the song, but I cannot help that every time I either hear the song.
Oh, you're thinking of Weird Al.
Weird Al. I Lost on Jeopardy. This is Jeopardy by Greg Kinban.
Well, and that's that thing, you know. You once Weird Al.
It was
Al
a hooky song to begin with.
Once, yeah, oh yeah, Jeopardy, and the video was really good.
It was good.
I loved the video for it. Yeah, you know, he's in that wedding deal, and they're in the church, and all that. You know, it's a great song and a great video, and then on top of that, you got Weird Al hits it.
Oh,
and then it turns it into gold at that point, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, it was already... I mean...
But I'm saying, though, it continues on. It seems like when Weird Al puts a stamp on something, you know, that's kind of like this shit whenever he did, you know, Madonna's song. When you hear that song, all you can think about is Weird Al.
That's
you
true.
So, that's you true. Know, and that's one of those things, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? To me, it's a good thing, you know.
Well, and just as a chart reference, because it is a chart show... this song was ranked at number 8. It was the 17th week on the chart. It had reached as high as number 2.
So, I mean, it's a pretty good run for that song.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a big run for that song. All right. So we go from this great song to...
Mediocrity.
Number 7, Solitaire, Laura Branigan. You know, I've just never been a Laura Branigan fan. Is it horrible? No, but it's not... You know, I don't know.
It falls into that.
Man. And actually, this is what, the 10th week, and it got as high as, well, this is the highest it got. It's been on the chart for 6 weeks or 10 weeks.
It might have gone higher. I mean, I don't give a damn to look.
And to be honest, when we went back and listened to these earlier, I don't remember this song, to be honest. I don't.
I remember it. It just, you know.
I turned it off. I never listened to it, so.
It's, number 6, though, is a song that, since part of the gimmick Then we'll do this at the end of the show, is that we select songs from the chart that either one of us would add on to our charts, because we don't rank our songs, but the blog, and for anybody that wants to start one and do their own gig, send us a message on Facebook, because we're happy to help you get started. Because it's just a cool thing to do, to kind of, as Dennis so eloquently puts it every time, reflect on moments in your life and what the music brought to those moments, or at least what those moments brought to the music. And so it's a great philosophy he has on that, which I'm sure he will happily, and we will be happy to hear it again, share it sometime. But this is Little Red Corvette by Prince. And this is a fucking badass song. Prince, this dude, as you've seen with the George Harrison Memorial Concert, where he comes out there.
My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah, he comes out there and plays solo on My Guitar Gently Weeps. An incredible talent. This was prior to this. It might have been. Is it Little? I can't remember the album, if unless it was Little.
This was off of 1999.
Was it?
I think.
Which is an amazing album.
Right.
The next album was Purple Rain, right, which was a good album, but it was also for me kind of the jumping the shark point,
right,
of me wanting to listen to Prince. Not the end of his talent under any circumstance, right, but just my interest, because his previous albums. You know, the controversy album.
The sad thing about me is, and I'll admit this, is when this song came out and when I saw it, I was not a big Prince fan. I didn't like Prince at all. I didn't get it. Didn't understand it. Thought he was just a singer. Didn't know he was a guitar player. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he just really, and it wasn't till a lot later on that I really started appreciating what Prince could do.
Right.
And I've went back and now I've kind of but at that time, you can chalk it up to being, 18 years old or whatever, and not, I'm a metal fan and this shit and this guy, what the fuck, I do have a real good appreciation for Prince. These songs were fucking kick ass.
They were. I mean, it's.
But would I admit it back then? No.
Well, and I understand that. I mean, it's.
It's one of those things.
Like I said, I was already an R&B fan.
Right.
And a huge fan of something like this that comes out, because I was so desperate to hear something, because the 80s. Was not just a bad decade for pop and rock music for me. Soul music completely died. Funk, with the exception of the Gap Band, and thank God for George Clinton, the godfather of funk.
Right.
Even though people will say James Brown, I don't know, he's a godfather. Right. So, but anyway, but yeah, so that's just a song that I enjoyed. Number five was another video classic.
If it wouldn't be for the video, I'd probably hate the song.
Right.
But because of the video, I like the song.
A great video.
And the video was so great, and it's quirky. Thomas Dolby, he had another one called Hyperactive. Yeah. That was a pretty decent song. I think he had a couple of real big hits. But yeah, this thing was on rotation hard,
And so this is She Blinded Me with Science.
Yeah.
By Thomas Dolby, yeah, absolutely. This was still climbing the charts.
It was still 14 weeks. And
14 weeks at number five, but the songs in front of it were very strong for that era.
Yeah,
So, fun video.
Yep,
but
very fun.
The next song, speaking of Australians, I really enjoyed the hell out of this song. And for me to say that about a lot of 80s songs, as you know, it has value to me.
I've always been a Minute Work fan, though. This was Overkill by Minute Work.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've always, for some reason, they've kind of caught my eye and they've kind of caught my ear. Of course, they were heavy in MTV also. If you can, go. There are acoustic versions of Overkill.
And oh, really?
There are fan freaking tastic.
Well, that I'm glad to know, because I'm definitely going to go.
After the show, I'll play it for you real quick. It's a, I can, and I can't, I, I, my, his name is escaping me right now. I can't believe that.
The singer?
Yeah.
Colin
something. Colin Hayes.
Colin Hayes,
yeah. Yeah, look up on MTV, or on MTV. On, look up on YouTube, Colin Hayes. He's done a lot of their songs acoustically and changes them a little bit, but Overkill is my favorite. And it's just absolutely beautiful when he does it acoustically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am a huge fan, and like I said, this was what number? They've been 7 weeks on the chart.
Number four. So this one was, this one had a bullet on it, essentially. Yeah.
So
I'm 18 with a bullet.
Yeah.
Got my finger on the trigger. I'm gonna pull it. That was Pete Wingfield from the early 70s. Yes, it sounds like I've just, you know, killed 17 cats with my attempt.
Keep your day job, Joe.
Yeah. So
all right. Number three.
This is the soundtrack.
Yeah.
From the movie of the same title, Flashdance, What a Feeling, by Irene Cara. Irene Cara was a Broadway actress, I believe.
No, she was a welder that wanted to be a dancer.
No, dude, that's the fucking Jennifer Beals video thing. This is Irene Cara.
I know, but the movie Flashdance was about a welder that wanted to be a dancer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Don't correct me. Remember, she got him out behind a bucket.
Terrible fucking movie, yeah.
Do you know who was supposed to play the male lead in that?
I don't even know who played the actual lead.
Somewhere. I don't either. He was an unknown, but guess who was offered that part?
Who?
Gene Simmons. He was just getting into the part where he was starting to want to do films. He was with Cher at that
point. At least he had enough fucking sense not to do that shit.
He did Runaway instead with Tom Selleck.
Well, maybe not enough sense at all.
That's a good one.
Number two is another masturbatory song.
Yeah, you got that right.
And
it includes one of my favorite guitar players, Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, that's right, Eddie Van Halen. Yeah,
Eddie Van Halen recorded the Beat It soundtrack. And
yeah, so this is
Beat It. And I have just read a story that said that Steve Lukather from Toto actually did some work on that too, and he thinks that some of that's his.
God,
he can't prove it.
40. I mean, they played this motherfucker.
But you know what I think about when I hear this?
I no.
Weird Al. Eat it.
Well, eat it. That's right. Yeah.
Which yeah. He did the video absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
God bless Weird Al.
He saves that.
Yeah. He made bad songs worth listening to.
I'm not a huge fan now. If not we ever talked about, I do like Thriller. I think Thriller was, and it was a masterpiece as far as the video. Right. The video was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, Beat It was, the thing was, they played that thing in rotation on the radio.
He was smacking that ass. He was beating it.
Yeah, no shit.
But, that poor little boy probably got hurt at that point.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, God, I just can't stand.
But, no, I'm like you. I'm not a big fan.
No, I mean, for like I
said. Thank God that there is a better song on this chart, and that was number one.
I mean, exactly. But, I mean, just one final thing on Michael Jackson. If you look, even the stuff after their first run of, like, it was like five of their first six releases as the Jackson 5 hit number one.
Right.
But even in like 73 or so, when they were getting older, you listen to a song like "Look Through Any Window," really a good song.
Right.
But man, it just went to shit. Yes, but number one,
there you go,
the coolest dude. Well, not the coolest dude, but a cool dude that transcended so much from just his coolness.
Well, and think about this. He reminds me of Tina Turner because he had a career. And then he had another second career that came in hard.
Kind of like Aerosmith, you know.
Exactly. I mean, he kind of, he had his big career and then came back in and then hit it again in the 80s.
Yeah.
And you know who plays guitar on this song, don't you?
I do not.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, no shit.
He was his guitar player on this album.
So this is Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Exactly.
I mean, man was just fantastic. Even my father, I found out he had like David Bowie tuned into his computer listening to songs.
That's cool.
That's really cool. My father will be 81 in a few months, right. and uh, still.
Well, it was like this one. It was Let's Dance, and what was the other song off this same album? China Girl.
China Girl.
And that's there again. That's Stevie Ray Vaughan playing on that album. He actually toured with them for a short time.
Wow.
So he had class acts with
them. Two amazing talents one. So anyway, this actually wraps up since that's number one. Obviously, we've come to the end of this chart, but just for a little final chit-chat chatter, we don't know what the next chart's going to be. We'll stick our finger in the air, see which way the wind's blowing, and look forward to hoping to have you guys come back and listen again. I would say that the shows will get better, but I think we're probably at our apex right here. It just depends on the week.
Exactly. It depends on the chart too. You know?
But
we got to pick a really shitty week. I mean, like a really shitty week.
This one's pretty close. Let's go ahead and choose our songs that we would put on our top 3,000 list, and these will appear on our top 3,000 list once these shows air.
All right. Well, I would say, how many you want?
Just choose as many as you like. You got 3,000 songs, dude.
Overkill, I would definitely put on, and I would put the Overkill. I would do the acoustic version, and. You know what? And Too Shy by Kaja Goo Goo. I just love that song. I like the bass line in it.
It's a good song. It definitely is.
I'll put two in this week.
I definitely agree that I would put Overkill in there by Minute Work, and I would put a little... let's just see what happens when it hits me, because I'm up to like 118 songs on my...
You're not going to put Mr. Roboto on there, or what?
Yeah, I'm going to put that on there, all right. As a gleaming example is the way the
80s not suck. What to do.
The way the 80s suck. This is a fucking Perry Mason slam dunk. You know, aha. You know,
right.
Mr. Berger, you're an idiot. Kind of thing. So no.
All right.
So those are my two songs, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Yep. We're gonna have some special guests. I can name one of them for sure in the coming weeks. It's a man by the name of Jeff Jones.
Jones.
Jeff will be joining
us. Mr. Jones.
Dude, I had three one-night stands from that song.
He's got a thing.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Going on. No, it's Mr. Jones.
No, it's Mrs. Jones, dude.
I know, but we got Mr. Jones coming.
Yeah, we got Mr. Jones coming, but...
to go see Mr. Jones.
And we ain't going to be messing with Mrs. Jones, because...
No.
We love her desperately.
We love Susan.
She's the absolute best chick, and they're the cutest couple.
Yeah.
We might have the Unimatter come down here sometime, Mr. Matt DeVille.
Ooh, we talked to Rush that night.
Awesome. And just any people that we can drag off the street that's desperate to spend an hour with us, which we're alone, so you can tell that it's not a big demand. But thanks for listening. Look forward to being with y'all next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.